Let us pray. Our Father and our God, under whose judgment and mercy we live and work, we thank thee for our parents who guide children and youth toward wise and mature manhood and womanhood, for teachers who elevate the thoughts of students to higher insights and to stronger sense of responsibility, and for good ministers who interpret life in the perspective of the mind of Christ. Give, we pray, to this nation and to the world a new birth of freedom and faith, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thee. Strengthen the ties of faith and truth that bind us to thee and to one another, and quicken within us the aspiration to serve thee effectively in a new and a difficult day. We remember in thy presence all who are in places of great peril at this moment, and all who carry heavy burdens with unmurmuring patience, including those whom we mention in the silence of our hearts. Enable us to see clearly that every good gift comes from thee. And to celebrate Christmas in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who not only intensified life, but also transformed it. Amen. The season draws near, we assemble here to thank God for the gift of eternal life, to remember what he has done for us in Jesus Christ, and to acknowledge with gratitude the faithful work of competent and compassionate men and women on this campus. Christmas is an appropriate time for Christian reflection. A few years ago, the president of a theological seminary put to me the question, "What do you read when you have leisure to read what you want to read?" I replied, "Biography and autobiography." He said, "It's a bad practice. It will discourage you, because you will discover that the most creative period in life frequently comes early and is very brief." I inquired about Sir William Osler and Dr. Schweitzer and Oliver Wendell Holmes, and he smiled and said, "You are impossible." I recommend for our reading when we have moments of leisure, what is a partial autobiography of Dag Hammarskjöld entitled Markings, along with a careful study of the life of that man by Pitt Van Dusen. Dag Hammarskjöld worked very hard. Whatever else may be said about him, there were relatively long periods when he worked 18 to 20 hours each day. But at Christmas and on New Year's Eve, he reserved hours in solitude for reflection. And each year on his birthday, he found his way all across the world to a little house in Sweden to spend his birthday in reflection. And whatever else we have at Christmas, it is hoped that we shall have some uninterrupted hours for reflection on the Christian message. And in these moments, I want to draw attention to two or three motifs in the Christian message, beginning with the affirmation that God knows us as we are and loves us. He has taken costly action in our behalf. What we do for neighbors in our best moments on the human pilgrimage is related to what he has done for us. We love one another as he has loved us. We forgive one another as he has forgiven us. We are ready to take costly action in behalf of any man because he has taken costly action for us. Even in a theological seminary, there are few thinkers, if any, who know the meaning of the word Christian in its full scope and depth. But we know that a Christian lives by faith in God, who came in Jesus Christ to visit and to redeem his people. A closely related motif for reflection in the Christian message is the affirmation that it is more blessed to give than to receive. We have received a wonderful gift. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. At the Christmas season in our culture, we ask ourselves, what can we give to those whom we love? What can we give to our children? What can we give to our students? What can we give to teachers who give themselves to a school. What can we give? There may be very little that we can give, but we can rejoice that the great gift is available to all, the gift of eternal life. Every person who thinks clearly about this gift discovers good news for modern man and receives insight into the meaning of ministry. A few weeks ago, a man was honored at a dinner in this nation. Upon the occasion of the celebration of 50 years in the ministry, a very able man, a Congregationalist. In response to some kind things which were said about him, he said, "The ministry is not easy. It has its problems and presents its difficulties. It demands much of those who enter it, but it brings its joy and satisfaction. I have discovered that the ministry enables one to use all his talents as he faces the endless needs to be met and the variety of work to be done. While I was attending the University of Missouri, I was deeply concerned about purpose in my life and wondered how I might invest whatever talents I had in a life work that would have some relevant meaning. It became my conviction that to serve the Christian church was important business. A minister seemed to be able to serve people in a direct and personal way at the point of greatest need. I entered the ministry because I thought that through it I could do the most good. I have never regretted my choice." The measure of the meaning of a minister and his ministry and of a church and its program is whether they have helped people to become better in character, firmer in a meaningful faith, more aware of the problems and needs of their fellow men, more concerned about their welfare, more committed to match their talents with the urgent demands life brings, and more devoted in loyalty to Christ and his church. A minister presents the Christian gospel as the supreme good news, as the way of salvation for individuals in their own lives and in their collective life, to people in difficulty and almost overcome with fear. The church presents a power that can bring an upsurge of strength for daily living that will enable individuals to meet life's deepest needs and help people to discover that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us think of a third motif in our reflection upon the Christian message at Christmas. In this message, we discern a dynamic interrelation of love, justice, wisdom, and peace. In the foreword to the Jerusalem Bible, a document I highly recommend, two dangers and one opportunity in the study of the Bible and in the role of Christianity in contemporary life are mentioned. The first danger is that we shall think of the Bible and of the Christian message as a relic to be relegated to a museum, to be regarded with some degree of affection, but to be considered irrelevant where decisions are made and important work is done. The other danger is that we shall think of the Christian message as an illusion. An illusion which may have temporary value for a weak person, but no durable appeal to a strong, great mind. The opportunity is to understand and to make clear that the Christian message is neither a relic nor an illusion, but a message which is as deep as truth and as up-to-date as the most imperative human need this day. I was reading not long ago a book by Fénelon entitled Love and Spiritual Counsel. It is a collection of his selected letters. In one of the letters, he gives counsel to one who had inquired about reading the Bible, that in her particular case, it was permissive for her to read anything in the New Testament except the first 12 chapters of Romans. Now, this was a pretty serious restriction. And I'm sure that the great Christian thinker who died a few days ago would have said that this was an incredible restriction. At the Christmas season, we ponder the last paragraph of the 8th chapter of Romans. With high regard for the intelligibility of the biblical message and for the intelligibility of the human mind, and we find good news which will sustain, I think, a dynamic interrelation of love, justice, wisdom, and peace. In this last paragraph of the 8th chapter of Romans, as Dr. John Knox once pointed out, we are told that God is for us, that Jesus Christ intercedes for us, and that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If we really believe that God is for us, that Jesus Christ intercedes for us, that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, we can spend a day this Christmas in reflection upon the things which make for peace on earth. I know that modern history indicates that in time of war and crisis, we talk about peace. And then in times of relative freedom from war and crisis, we forget the things that make for peace. But if I have any understanding of what is going on in the world today, this is a time for thoughtful people of our nations, of our races, to put their minds together and to think about the things that make for peace. In the intimacy of primary groups, we need to know more than we now know about interpersonal competence. and in the broad field of international relations, we need to know more than we now know about what makes for peace on earth. God is for us. Christ intercedes for us. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. This is a deep message. This is an up-to-date message. Furthermore, it is true. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all, and with all who belong to Him, wherever they live in this wide world.